We are going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning, so please turn there and we'll be reading again verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. This is the Word of God. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. So this morning we want to look at two phrases in verse 7. Love bears all things and love endures all things. We'll treat those two together, because they are largely synonymous. And it's interesting that verse 7 has bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and then bookends it with endures all things. And it seems to me that bears all things and enduring all things are basically the same idea, and faith and hope are put in the middle. And I'm not quite sure all the reasons why that may be, but it does seem to me, as I reflected on it, that it is faith and hope in God that enables us to love in such a way that we endure all things. Faith, hope, and love are this indivisible triad, as Paul says at the end, faith, hope, and love abide. And these things all undergird and support one another. And so next week we'll look more at believes all things and hopes all things, but let's think right now about the enduring or bearing of all things. Now, these words in verse 7 can be misunderstood, certainly. We don't want to misunderstand them. When it says believes all things and hopes all things, it's not this naive idea that despite all the evidence you have, you just believe everything everybody says and you hope that they're going to come through even though they are supremely untrustworthy. That's not what it's talking about. Likewise, enduring all things does not mean that you allow injustice after injustice to be committed when in some cases you have a clear responsibility to address it. For example, there's obvious examples. A parent does not endure all the disobedience of their child because love endures all things. No, they train their children. They discipline them in love. Or likewise, somebody that's in an abusive situation may be responsible before God to address that injustice. That isn't loving to endure that. So that's not what is in mind here. But really, the idea is love endures all things. Whatever suffering God has ordained for you to go through, you need to do it with love. Because indeed, there are all different kinds of ways in which we're called to suffer with Christ and for Christ. And it's going to take love to pull us through that suffering. So let's not take it in the simplistic sense of the love that is sort of docile. It just takes it all laying down. It's not what the idea is. It's an active love, but it's a love that bears with some of the most immense suffering that can be brought in this life. That suffering can be relational, where people offend us or hurt us, commit injustice against us. It can be physical suffering as well. Do we love others through the midst of that suffering? Do we love Christ through that suffering? Whatever it is, love bears all things and endures all things. Now, to get a picture of this, I wanted to go back to the Gospels, as I so often want to with these different descriptions of love, and think, how is it reflected in my Lord Jesus Christ? How do I see his enduring and bearing all things? Where does it appear? Knowing that he is the sinless Son of God and knowing that he loved with a perfect love, I want to know how he did it. I want to know what it looks like. And I was reminded of the words of John 13, verse 1, as the disciples came to the Passover and Jesus washed their feet. It says in John 13, 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." It's a beautiful description. He loved them to the end. He kept loving them. And of course, this is, in a sense, the end, which is what John is describing, but there's more to the story. There's 8-9 more chapters in the gospel, and what else happened? Jesus was about to face the most immense suffering imaginable. He was about to deal with the suffering that the Romans and the Jews would bring upon him, but more than that, he was about to endure the very wrath of God against sin in himself. That was the suffering he was about to go through. And yet, he loved his disciples through it, despite their betrayal, despite their falling away at the time of his most severe suffering. His love endured. And then you come to John 21. Jesus is there on the shore cooking fish. And he provides this miraculous, perhaps miraculous, gathering of fish for his disciples. He says, cast your nets over here. You're going to get 153 fish. And then come eat with me. And in that picture there, he loves. He doesn't chastise his disciples, though they were certainly worthy of some rebuke. He simply loves them. He had a love that endured all things. And so our love, likewise, is to be reflective of Christ's love to us. We are called to endure suffering for Christ in our relationships, in our physical condition. We're called to deal with these things and then through it have a love that endures. Philippians 1:29 tells us, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. The Greek word granted is that same idea of the word grace. It is something that is graciously given. Just as it is a gift to believe in Jesus, it is a gift to suffer for him. One is not greater than the other in this verse. They're both presented as this gift. That's hard to take, isn't it? It's hard to understand how suffering for Christ can be as equally gracious as believing in him. They're both gifts, is what Philippians 1 says. And so if we are to endure, we need faith, we need hope, we need love, and we need a love that bears all things. Now, as we confess our sins in light of this verse today, each of us has to admit that the suffering that we are brought through presents a real test to our love. It is a challenge to our love whether in that particular situation we will keep going with that person. We will keep going through that physical suffering and love others. We can grow weary. We can grow faint-hearted. It can seem difficult at times to show love to those in the world who despise you. It can seem difficult to endure in love to those that offend you. It's unnatural to our fallen condition to love those who mistreat us. Jesus says the Gentiles are great at loving the people that love them. That's easy. They got that down. The supernatural love, the divinely given gift of love that bears all things, is not something that's natural to us. Now, this is something that is a gift given by God, and I'm reminded of 1 John 5, where we read, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who was begotten of him. And so if we are born again by the Spirit of God, if we have that Spirit residing in us, then this love is given to us. We will love those that are begotten of God as well. And so you may feel weak in love, as I certainly do. That's what all of these exhortations obviously point out about each of us. We have weakness in love. And you might say in your particular situation, maybe you have in mind that circumstance right now where you're thinking, it is so hard to endure with love that situation. How do I do it? I feel empty. I feel drained. I don't feel like I have any more love to give in this situation. I've tried. I don't know how to do it. And that's okay. You can admit that. You can admit that weakness. But I'm here to remind you, brothers and sisters, that you come today to the triune God, who is a fountain of love, eternal love, a fountain that overflows in the love of Christ to you, that overflows in the work of the Spirit of God among you, and that can grant you grace sufficient to have that love that endures all things. And so if you've come to the end of the particular circumstance and you say, I can't endure, I can't keep going, I don't think I can keep loving, then come to the fountain of love and ask the God of all grace to grant you that sufficient grace to keep loving and enduring all things. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess our weakness before you. You've called us to be a loving people, reflecting the love of Christ to this world and to one another, and yet we often feel like we have an empty tank. We come to the end and we're not sure whether we can keep loving. We don't know if we can endure any more suffering and keep loving. But we know that you are a God of love and a God of power, and that by your grace you can strengthen your people to have this love that endures all things. And I pray now, Lord, that you would grant that to our church. Strengthen us to walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave us for himself. Lord, when the call of suffering comes to us, may we not run away from it, but may we embrace it as a gift and an opportunity to suffer for Christ and to walk in love. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.